So great to see y'all today. May you go with Jesus, our Please turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, chapter 2. You'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 676. And a reminder that we will be having business meeting immediately after the service. Yeah, I see the groans. Yeah, I saw it. We've been honoring veterans and all that they do on the battlefield and off, and this is another way, by having a meeting of bureaucracy right after the service. But it'll be a good meeting. This is a kind of necessary bureaucracy that helps to keep the church moving. Isaiah 2, what a passage that is often read during holidays like Veterans Day, passage that reminds us of what we long to see the world as. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4 and ask that you please rise for the reading of God's Word. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God, of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. It must have been 15 years ago, almost 20, when I visited Denver International Airport, and I saw this mural. You may not be able to tell what's happening, but I'll try to explain it. There are children in this mural representing many of the countries around the world. There is this banner up top that reads peace in several languages. I see Russian, English, Spanish. I don't see any of the others. But it says peace, 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 peace in all these languages. But what I want you to see is in the very middle, you got these two doves at the very bottom. But right behind the dove is an anvil, or something like an anvil. And on top is a sword that is being beaten with a hammer by these kids. The sword that is being beaten into a plowshare. That anvil may very well be another plowshare. I'm not sure. This is directly from Isaiah chapter 2. This mural in Denver International Airport. If you go to New York City, near the UN building, you find another work of art. It's a statue, and it is a statue of a man with a hammer in his hand and a sword, and he's beating the sword into a plowshare. And underneath, guess what verse? It's right here, Isaiah 2, verse 4. "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." And then this final picture I saw, which, you know, we don't really use swords very much today. We use assault rifles and tanks and all. And this tank is painted and turned into a little playset for kids. Isn't that interesting? I thought, you know, this is probably another good example of what Isaiah is trying to express, taking these instruments of war, instruments that often are used for destruction, to destroy the enemy, and transforming them into instruments that bring life, right? The plowshares and the pruning hooks, they are instruments to construct, to build farms and vineyards. This is what is happening here in Isaiah. Isaiah is painting a picture of the promise that God is making to the world, that he is going to come, and when he comes, these instruments of war will be transformed. They're not going to be thrown away. That's not really the MO of God. When God meets a sinner, God doesn't throw them away. What does God do with a sinner? God transforms the sinner, right? When Saul was persecuting Christians, sending them to prison or overseeing their stoning, like with Stephen. And Jesus meets Saul on the road to Damascus. What does Jesus do? Does he throw him away? No. He transforms Saul to something wonderful, redeems him. This is the MO of our God. He redeems things. He redeems us, our lives, and he even redeems the things that we would, might say, in a time of peace, we'd just throw them away. No, he says, no, give them to me. I'm going to transform them into something beautiful. Humanity can be narrated as a history of war and all the wars that humans have engaged in throughout the millennia. But it can also be narrated as a story of the pursuit of peace. Humans seeking peace. And most recently, in the last 100 years, we have seen this. Before World War I, many theologians saw the world and said, you know what? We don't see anything in the future except peace. We are coming together as nations. We're learning to work with each other. And then all of a sudden, a war that the world had never seen happens in World War I. Thank God that 98 years ago, on the 11th hour of the 11th month, 11th day of the 11th month, these nations that were killing each other came together and said, enough, we're going to lay down our arms. And thus became Armistice Day, the cessation of hostilities in Europe, or what we call Veterans Day now, but formerly Armistice Day, that we are going to stop fighting each other. And shortly after that day, our President Woodrow Wilson, he spearheaded an organization of nations called the League of Nations to in order to prevent this from ever happening again. A pursuit of peace on earth. It did not fulfill, at least fully, its purpose, because just a few decades later, World War II happened. World War II ended. And again, the U.S. spearheaded another organization in the shadow of the League of Nations, the United Nations. And this United Nations, in part, was a pursuit for peace on earth. People were looking for peace. People have always been looking for peace. And the United States has always been in the forefront of world peace, and we should be proud of that. peace requires that we talk to each other. Hence the UN. You got to get representatives from all countries together in a room to talk it out. If you don't talk it out, then bad things happen, as we saw in World War I. Peace requires that we talk to each other. Hence the peace of Christ, right? You can't have peace among individuals unless you talk to each other. War occurs when we fail to communicate. War occurs on a national level when we fail to communicate in part. And wars between individuals, disagreements, they happen in part because we're just not talking to each other. War is a terrible thing, for sure. It is probably the greatest example of how when there is division between individuals, between people groups, that we tend to dehumanize each other. We see each other as less human, and we attack each other as less human. And war is maybe the greatest example of that. It has been said that when one man kills another, two are destroyed. When one man kills another, two are destroyed. War is an act that dehumanizes us as people and as individuals. I've yet to meet a soldier who loves killing. Even though that is what they're trained for, I've yet to meet a soldier that loves it. There may be some out there. America sends men and women into battle not so that they may become more human, but so that they may sacrifice their humanity in many ways for others, so that others may live. And so when they come back from the battlefield and they've lost a little bit of what it means to be human, the job of others is to hope and pray and to come alongside of these individuals for healing, for prayer, and for hope that God restores them to full humanity. Because again, this is what God does. God takes the brokenness of our lives and he makes something wonderful out of it so that these people can become better than they were before. This is the MO of our God. In a similar way, but not as extreme, when two Christians refuse to reconcile, they both are dehumanized. They become less of what we've been called to be. Holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die of it, right? It never helps. So, is peace possible on this earth between nations? Is peace possible between among us as individuals? Will there be peace amongst us? You know, there are certainly ways that humanity in the past has reduced war in this world. And we need to thank the leaders of this country and other countries who, when given the decision to either go to war or use other means like diplomacy, that they have chosen to avoid war at times. Historians have called this period we live in, post-World War II, as the Great Peace. It has been surprisingly peaceful, even though if you turn on a television, it may not seem that way, but less and less people are dying of war ever since World War II. Can it last? Will it last? Some people say, just like those before World War I, that yes, we are approaching this great time when Isaiah 2 will be fulfilled, that we will be able to transform our weapons of war to weapons of life. Me, I'm a little more skeptical I think that our sinful nature in this world will rear its head again, and another war will come. And it just takes a leader or two to do it. What does the Bible, though, say about peace on earth? Well, we're told that peace, true peace, peace that we find in Isaiah, can only come about through a prince who is called peace. The one who is peace, Jesus Christ. That is when peace comes. Now you may ask, so that means we have to wait. We have to wait for this guy to come, Jesus Christ, before we get peace on earth. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. A final peace is to come. Isaiah 2 is coming. I promise you that. But the Prince of Peace has already come in this earth. He has come. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, what? Glory to God and peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. We as followers of the Prince of Peace are called to be peace on this earth. We're called to be the signposts. So people are looking for peace. Humanity's been looking for it. They see you and they know where to walk, straight to Jesus. We are a signpost for a world that has been searching for peace. We are a signpost for the United Nations who are looking for peace in all sorts of ways. We are a signpost to nations today warring against other nations, or nations warring with themselves, like Syria. We are a signpost of peace to blacks against whites, to young versus old, to Republicans versus Democrats. We are called to be peace for the world, on this world, as if the kingdom of God is already here. As we pray, the kingdom of God to be here. We, the body of Christ, are the hope of this world. We are the greatest hope of this world, the head being Christ. And so, a charge to the body of Christ, the hope of the world, right here, in this sanctuary. Take your swords, and take your spears, and take your M16s and your howitzers. Take the words you use to destroy, and take the actions you use to tear down, and beat them, and beat them, and beat them into instruments of life, for words that bring life, and actions that build up. In doing this, you become a soldier for the Prince of Peace in this world and his kingdom. And you proclaim, as was proclaimed 98 years ago, you proclaim to the world the cessation of all hostilities. Let us pray and then sing for this peace. Lord God, peace begins with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come as the Prince of Peace. But peace continues with us as we are the body of this Prince of Peace. Lord, it begins with small actions that we take between brothers and sisters and neighbors. Lord, may we be faithful in these little things For in these little things are built an edifice of peace for the world to see. The world needs you, O Lord. Our hearts are too broken to capture peace. Peace can only be captured when we are captured by Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we be faithful in praying for peace in this world, and may we be faithful in living it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make,